Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today is August 6th, and that means it is the feast in the Catholic Church of the Transfiguration of Jesus in the on the mountain with Moses and Elijah. Before we get into the readings that are part of today's services, let us pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, you instructed the hearts of the faithful. By the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things and ever to rejoice in his consolation through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Now the first reading today is a reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. As I watched, thrones were set up, and the ancient one took his throne. His clothing was bright as snow, and the hair on his head was white as wool. His throne was flames of fire, and wheels of burning fire. A surging stream of fire flowed out from where he sat. Thousands upon thousands were ministering to him, and myriads upon myriads attended to him. The court was convened, and the books were open. As the visions during the night continued, I saw one like the Son of Man coming on the cloud of heaven. And when he reached the Ancient One and was presented before him, the one like the Son of Man received dominion, glory, and kingship. All people, every nation, and all languages served him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. The word of the Lord. The Lord is King, the Most High, over all the earth. The Lord is King, the Most High, over all the earth. The Lord is King, let the earth rejoice. Let the many islands be glad. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Justice and judgment are the foundation of his throne. The Lord is King, the Most High, over all the earth. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his justice, and all the people see his glory. The Lord is King, the Most High, over all the earth. Because you, O Lord, are the Most High over all the earth, exalted far above all gods. The Lord is King, the Most High above all the earth. The second reading is from the second letter of St. Peter. Beloved, we do not follow cleverly devised myths, which when we made known to you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we have been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that unique declaration came to him from the majestic glory. This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. Moreover, we possess the prophetic message that is altogether reliable. You will do well to be attentive to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Alleluia, alleluia. And the gospel reading is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up a mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them. They became frightened when they entered the cloud. And then the cloud, from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son, listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. So when we get into today's readings and everything that we are about on this August 6th, the day of the Transfiguration of the Lord, we remember the Transfiguration when we have Jesus Christ showing forth through his natural nature, his glory and his divinity. It is something that the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that was the confession of Jesus that showed his miraculous power, the power that he had as the Son of Man that Daniel spoke about. And it is the topic of the second reading where Peter talks about how Jesus received honor and glory from God the Father with a unique declaration that came to him from glory. "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And it's with this that we hear the final conclusion that we should listen to him. The listening that we have to him is a listening that is put in action by how we live. As I said the other day, the point of listening to Christ to not harden our hearts is the key to truly living out a true life that can be blessed by God. And this is something that everywhere in all things, when we're reading Scripture, reading about Scripture, reading about the lives of the saints, we should be able to take something, a nugget from that, that we can apply to our own lives. A seed, a thing that can be carried on forward. I mean, when you study the Scriptures, you should be able to find something in the Scriptures during a daily read that truly blesses you and that you can put into practice, whether it be a thing of prayer, whether it be a thing you believe, or a thing that you actually do. Something. That way, by doing that, you can see that action become manifest. It's one of those things that we ourselves need to be aware of. Like, for instance, today with the Transfiguration, knowing that Jesus Christ is God and becomes dazzling white, transfigured with light, and Moses and Elijah sitting with him, talking with him about what was going on. It reminds us of the ultimate part of the crucifixion, that in the end, we're going to all be, in a sense, transfigured when we are raised up with glorious bodies on that last day, and experience this vision of Christ that is not hidden behind a wafer in a tabernacle in our churches, but we actually see him face to face and be like him as he is. To really know that he is the King, the Most High over everything in the earth. And this is something that we can take away from all this. Peter talks about being an eyewitness to his majesty. Because when he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. It was while this happened that they perceived Moses and Elijah. Now, the interesting part about Moses and Elijah being part of this situation is that it shows the communion of saints reaches back even into the Old Testament, because Moses the lawgiver and Elijah the chief prophet show forth that Jesus is everything that the Old Testament talked about. He appeared in glory. He spoke. They spoke about the Exodus, the departure that Jesus was about to make at the cross, and also in the ascension and going up into heaven. Why is it important to know that these two men were here? Because it tells us something about the communion of saints, that we can pray to saints, Mary, and others that are in glory, and ask for their intercession without being considered people who talk to the dead. That's what the transfiguration in and of itself gives us a figure of. Nobody would blame Jesus as committing a sin, and yet here he is talking with two people that we know in some sense are dead. Elijah was taken up in a chariot into heaven, so in a sense he was assumed, just like Mary or Enoch. There was an assumption that happened in that situation. In Moses' case, we know he's dead because in Jude, we hear that Saint Michael disputed with the devil about the body of Moses because Moses was dead. We know Moses is dead because that's what Deuteronomy closes with, is the death of Moses, not going into the promised land. The book of Joshua even begins with pointing out that, hey, Moses is dead, and now Joshua, you're lead the people of God into the promised land and all that. So we see that there's nothing in the Christian sense of praying to the communion of saints to really experience their intercession. But the true thing is the change in appearance that Jesus gets, a change that allows us to realize his divinity, to realize that he is the ancient one. Notice the way the writer Daniel puts it together. The ancient one took his throne. His clothing was bright as snow, and the hair on his head white as wool. His throne was flame of fire and wheels of burning fire. A surging stream of fire flowed out from where he sat. There you go. God, the ancient one. His clothing is bright as snow. And then we see one like the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. When he reached the Ancient One and was presented before him, the one like the Son of Man received dominion, glory, and kingship. His kingship. Now, what is this talking about? Jesus referenced it in the gospel when he was questioned by the high priest. And he says, you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. And they called it a blasphemy because here he's considering himself the Son of Man in the sense that Daniel was talking about, because the Ancient One had this bright, snowy look, this look that was so bright, he looked white in a very unique way. It is the true manifestation of his glory. When the one like the Son of Man was presented before the God in heaven, it can be attributed to his ascension into glory, to where he sits at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the dominion of earth to be given unto him. I mean, until all of his enemies are placed under his foot, basically under his control, under his dominion. Because the one like the Son of Man, as Daniel tells you, received dominion, glory, and kingship over everyone. All people, all nation, all languages. The gospel has to go forth. All have to be reminded of this. Because this is what it's all about. The response psalm comes from Psalm 97. It talks about the clouds and the darkness that are around God. Justice and judgment are the foundation of his throne. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. The heavens proclaim his justice. All of this is carrying out the imagery that we see in Daniel that gets prophesied later about the Ancient One, with the throne being flames of fire and wheels of burning fire. The whiteness of his countenance is what is talked about in the gospel, because his appearance changed and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, he was talking with Moses and Elijah. They talked about his departing, his exodus, his leaving, and what he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. They were talking about the gospel, basically, telling everybody what was going on. So this is all that's here for us to understand. And Peter talks about it in his thing, in his second letter and points to this particular thing as a prophetic message that he's received, a commission that's been given unto the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel. They preached the gospel orally for many years, as we talked about when we were talking about the creation of the scriptures and how they came to be so that we could have a basis of knowing what is the deposit of the faith with the magisterium. And it is something that wonderfully prefigures our full adoption into the sonship of God, where we ourselves will be changed in a twinkling of an eye, where we will put off our mortal bodies and put on immortality, where that seed will finally break through. But it's hinged upon one thing: listening to Jesus. Scripture tells us, as we found out from the Sunday readings, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Let that seed really get into your soul. Really do something to change your life, something that you can build upon, grow upon. The luminous mysteries are a real good mystery of the rosary to go into today, even though it's not a Thursday. It's really good to go into it because today is the day of the transfiguration, the illumination. In the luminous mysteries, we have the baptism of Jesus, which reminds us of our baptism. At the wedding feast of Cana, we see how the intercession of Mary brought about a miraculous manifestation of Jesus in the water turned to wine. In the third luminous mystery, we hear about the message of the gospel of a kingdom in which if we will repent and be part of, we can receive forgiveness of sins. And then comes the fourth mystery, the mystery of the transfiguration, where Jesus shows his power and glory and allows it to be revealed when his appearance changes and you get to see his glory through the body that he had had at that time. It was nowhere near the glory that he would show in the resurrected body that he would take on once he has gone through the cross, died, and finally rose again, and that he still maintains at the right hand of God. And it is a glory that he shares with us, a reality that as he is, so we will be. And the luminous mysteries wrap up with the fifth luminous mystery, a mystery about the Eucharist and about how God can still incarnate bread and wine, making one the body and the other the blood, with all of the divinity and fullness of everything that Jesus is contained in one and both. It is a uniqueness, a unique species that we can never really fully comprehend on this side of the Great Divide, but that we can really understand because at the same time, we know it to be true. Our feeble senses fail, as the Tantum Ergo reminds us, but we really know that Jesus truly is God. All of this today reminds us of that. Reminds us that he would suffer, die, and be raised. And the sure token of that resurrection is given to us on this day, the day of the Transfiguration, a day in which we recall the true sonship of Jesus Christ that he shares with each one of us, and about how he truly is God and man in a way that benefits us so that we all can truly be blessed.